It is clear that we can safely say that the human race as a whole has survived. The response has accomplished what it was meant to do. And through time, that response has undergone its own evolution. Based on our modern-day reactions to stress, the fight-or-flight response no longer exists in its original form. Instead of fighting, we now get angry. We end up mismanaging the stress, allowing it the time to build up the potential to hurt us sometime down the road. Instead of fleeing, we now become afraid. What's important to notice is that unlike fighting and fleeing, being angry and or afraid are not physical behaviors. They are emotions. At the very root of the fight or flight response is a need to protect the emotions. Stress triggers an emotional reaction, and it is worsened by what automatically goes on in the body when the fight or flight response is triggered. When we feel stress, it is no longer so that we can survive physically. It is so that we may survive emotionally. And if we can't survive emotionally or cope with our life and living, we might get very ill and possibly die. What needs to be done the moment you begin to sense that you're shifting from comfort to stress is to interrupt the reaction and convert it into a response instead. It's far more valuable to respond with ability to any situation than to react without control. When you react to something that is causing stress, you need to ask yourself whether it's because of anger or fear. And what is the cause of the anger and or fear? Anger and fear will trigger some very deep core issues, issues that you may be unaware of, and that are at the very root of your stress reaction and your health challenges. The most common of those core issues have to do with abandonment, rejection, hopelessness, helplessness, and the lack of control. When a core issue is being triggered, the mere fact that it is being triggered means that it's something that belongs to your past. For example, when was the first time you felt abandoned? The answer could be something as simple as your parents going out to dinner and leaving you behind, or as serious as being left in front of someone's doorstep as an infant. The reality is that you might not even remember the actual past event, and yet the experience of abandonment was so deeply impressed that it resulted in an issue that is still being triggered today. When was the first time you felt rejected? Someone could have praised your sibling and not you. Maybe you were passed up at school or not picked up to play in a sports team, or the only one in your class not to be invited to a party. When did you first experience the feeling of hopelessness? Something like wanting the latest bike for your birthday, but your family didn't have the money to buy it for you. That alone could have led to a feeling of hopelessness. Wanting to try out for a sport, but you have a physical handicap, can also lead to hopelessness. When did you first experience the feeling of helplessness? For some people, having been physically overpowered by someone much bigger than themselves could have led to a feeling of helplessness. Seeing someone you know suffer and not being able to help them can also lead to helplessness. When did you first experience a feeling of frustration for not getting your way or having full control over a situation? For example, being made to go to your room as a punishment from a parent makes a child feel that they have no control. Or being told how to think, speak, believe, and behave could lead to a feeling of not being in control. In time, this could also lead to a strong desire to want to control others and situations. It's no wonder so many of us are such control freaks. The point of the matter I'm making here is that these emotions have to do with your past and can cause plenty of stress. Most of the things that you experience stress over are things that really belong in the past, not so much in the present. They were experienced when you were very young, probably before the age of 7, when your brain was producing a predominance of theta frequencies and the mode of thinking was inductive. In other words, you were soaking everything in and you did not have the necessary resources or the language, skill level, or capabilities to handle or understand those experiences. Today, you may feel that you're all grown up physically, intellectually, spiritually, and emotionally, but the moment you're face to face with a trigger, the snowball effect begins. First, you experience a shift from comfort to stress, with a knotted feeling in the pit of your stomach. Then your mind begins to fill with sabotaging thoughts and negative feelings linked to issues of your past, followed by a cluster of physical changes due to the triggering of the fight or flight response. And then comes the expression of the stress itself in a form of a reaction that resembles a child or a past you lacking understanding and resources, who's angry, afraid, or hurt. When past issues get triggered, it's as if the child you is forced to surface. In a flash, you are transported to become the child once again, and as a child made to handle the adult situation. The adult you is nowhere to be found. Too often, serious situations are handled by the child you when they really need to be handled by the adult you. The adult you has many more resources than the child you and can handle situations much more effectively. Imagine being in the following example. You're at home having a wonderful afternoon and the phone rings. You pick up the phone and answer to find out that the nurse at your doctor's office is on the other end of the line. And she says, "Hello, may I speak to Mrs. Smith?" And you say, "Yes, this is Mrs. Smith." "Oh, Mrs. Smith, I just want to tell you that your test results are in." And he goes, "Oh, well, great. What were they?" And the nurse says, "Well, you know what? I think you better come into the office. The doctor would rather tell you in person. So can you make it Tuesday at 9? And you say, "Yes, sure, I can make it Tuesday at 9. And at this point, you're already beginning to feel the stress. What are you thinking or picturing? Are you thinking, "Oh no, I wonder if he's going to give me some bad news. Maybe the test results came out really badly. What's going to happen to me? It's going to be bad, I know it is." What belief was fueling the reaction? Was it something like, "Well, with my health challenges, what do I expect but the worst?" Now, this is a belief charged with emotion, and beliefs create your living experience. How did you react? What did you say or do? Did you feel sad, worried, afraid? Did you want to cry? And what physical changes did you notice in your body? Did your heart start to beat faster and harder? Did your breathing change? Did your muscles tense? Stomach get upset? What was triggered emotionally? Was it fear that you were going to hear the worst news, that you were going to lose your life, that it was over? Because if it was, then helplessness and hopelessness was triggered. And that's something that belongs in your past. What needs to be done the moment you experience a shift towards stress is to immediately interrupt the pattern of reaction that automatically kicks in and allows the child you to surface. By interrupting the pattern of reaction with something as simple as taking a deep breath, you give yourself time to think resourcefully, and that will help allow the adult you to stay in control and respond appropriately. Something else that needs to be brought to awareness is the quality of the mental pictures that are generated by your thoughts when you are under stress and the emotions attached to that whole internal experience. Very key factors are your belief structures, your emotions that are attached to those beliefs, the thoughts or the quality of thoughts and images that you create. A person under stress has a tendency to generate negative thoughts, self-talk, mental pictures, and emotions. Remember that emotionally charged thoughts are energy in motion. They are the substance of your belief and precede physical manifestation. The emotionally charged thought must be present first for anything to happen. Negative thoughts and pictures create the ideal environment for negative outcomes, especially when they are emotionally charged. In the previous example, if bad news is not what you want as an end result, then don't think it or even picture it. You must always think of and picture only and always what you want instead. To put it all together, once you interrupt the pattern of reaction with a deep breath, then you can identify whether it's caused by fear or anger and what core issue is being triggered. You then proceed by separating yourself, the adult you, from the past unresourceful you, and allow the adult you to handle the situation by thinking of and picturing a positive outcome instead. An ideal picture is always one that demonstrates the greatest good and expresses that no matter what happens, you are going to be just fine. When applying this approach in any situation that causes stress, the final picture needs to be one that involves mostly you achieving your outcomes. Ideal outcomes involve some aspects of health, happiness, love, abundance, inner peace, and problem solving. And they have really positive emotions backing them up, like appreciation, compassion, gratitude, just great feeling emotions. The greatest outcome that you're out to achieve is you being whole and complete. Although there may be others in the image, they're only there to enhance the image and make it more desirable. Never include anyone in the picture with a desire to control them or make them do or feel something that you want them to do or feel. See, that's a control issue all over again. Doing this would be self-defeating. You cannot control the thoughts, feelings, or behaviors of others, only your own. Once you get the image of what you desire just right, then I recommend you step into the image and use a trigger mechanism to lock in or anchor a certain feeling, disposition, emotion, behavior, thought, or level of sensitivity in order for them to be accessible at a later time. Anything can serve as a trigger mechanism. The most used trigger mechanisms are subtle, unnoticeable, and slightly different than normal, such as the fingers of the hand touching in a slightly unusual manner with the first two fingers touching your thumb and the ring finger and the small finger resting on your palm. Now, this is something that we teach in the Civil Life System Home Study course and the live presentations. We call it the Three Fingers Technique. But by just following my instructions right now, you'll be able to use the Three Fingers Technique, this trigger mechanism, in a very resourceful way. This trigger is especially useful in that it can be a reminder for you to engage your whole being in any situation of importance. You can designate a part of yourself to each of your fingers. Remember that we are multidimensional beings. We're not just the body, but we are the spirit, the mind, the emotions, and there's an intuitive part of us that can guide our decision-making abilities. Now, each one of your fingers can be assigned to one of your parts or one of your bodies, as we've talked about earlier. Your thumb can represent your physical part and manages your health and composure, relaxed breathing, healthy posture, and confident stance. Your first finger can represent your mental or intellectual part that manages clarity, alertness, wit, ideas, creativity, and problem-solving abilities. Your second finger, or the middle finger, can represent your emotional part that manages emotional balance, appropriate experience, and expression of emotions, and personal control. Your ring finger that rests on the palm of your hand can represent your spiritual part. That has to do with your connection to source energy, universal energy, higher power, with all, being compassionate, loving, having purpose, solving problems, and doing good deeds for others. Your small finger, also resting on the palm of your hand, can represent your intuitive part. This allows you to be guided by your inner voice, trusting that you will say the right thing at the right time and make right decisions and choices. Use this trigger mechanism once you have a clear picture of the outcome you desire for a particular situation. At that time, begin assigning the physical qualities you want to have available to you to your thumb. Then touch your thumb with the first finger and assign the mental qualities desired. Then touch your second finger with your thumb and assign to it the emotional qualities desired. Then touch your ring finger with your palm and assign to it the spiritual qualities desired. Finally, you touch your small finger to your palm and assign to it the intuitive qualities you desire to have during that specific situation. Once all the qualities are locked in with your trigger mechanism, then they are accessible to you by simply placing your hand in that same position during the time that you're going through that specific situation in your living experience. You will be able to access the very qualities you want to have present during that time.